This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Brian Altano.
What up?
Sam Claiborne.
Scoop, scoop.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to look ahead and talk about our most anticipated games.
Yeah, a little flippy floaty up there.
Of the year. Yeah, flippy floaty. We're going to talk about, what else are we going to talk about? People who, or don't, finish games.
What's that look?
Is this an intervention?
Yeah.
Please tell me. I need help with this.
I'm not sure I've beaten a game in the last 3 years. That's not true. I beat The Witness.
Get out.
That's the whole point.
Can you beat The Witness?
But first, the big news of this week is, of course, the big Nintendo Switch reveal, which is yet to happen as of this recording. So we're actually not going to focus on that this week. We don't have that news yet. But in order to cover that, we're going to record GameScoop early next week.
Scoop.
Because I feel like Nintendo Switch news is really just going to be coming in all throughout Friday and all over the weekend.
It'll be definitive.
So, yeah.
New console. It still hasn't really sunk in.
New Nintendo console, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, we're expecting new Zelda information, maybe new Mario. So early next week, after the dust is settled, we'll cover all that. But the other big news this week was Scalebound, big upcoming Xbox exclusive, has officially been canceled.
Yeah. What's left now?
Well, they do have Halo Wars 2 coming next month.
I'm actually really excited about that game. Crackdown looks okay.
Yeah. I'm
into Crackdown.
Crackdown also went dark.
Been dark for a long time. Doesn't have an official release.
Are you saying it might be canceled?
Date for that.
Don't say that.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
They do have Sea of Thieves. They're trying to push that.
Sea of Thieves. That's not my type of game.
Yeah, my type
of game. I think it will be.
Really?
Yeah, I really think it will be. I think it's the kind of game
you can play by yourself and explore a lot.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but I think I don't know if there's much of that at all. But in the way of like you'll probably get to play it with some people at IGN, you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you played it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the best comment on this Scalebound cancel news on IGN this week comes from IGN user B Reckon, who said, "I guess due to the scale of the game, it was bound to get canceled."
Damn. See, it has both words of the game title in it, scale and bound. But they're mixed up to make a phrase.
Scalebound.
Tell him, Sam. Get him.
It's a compound word. So my question to you three is, are you bummed that Scalebound is canceled?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have to use the word scale and bound in your response.
That's tough. No,
a game was bound to be canceled of a scale that size.
Wow. Of course I'm bummed. I think it's like Platinum makes awesome games. They've been working on this thing for a very long time, and it sucks to see something die. I think as somebody who went to art school, as somebody who's worked on like creative projects and stuff like that, the idea of working on something for so long and then it just going away is it bothers me.
Oh, it's just heartbreaking, right?
I think it's sort of like, oh, so like David Bowie passes away and they're like, well, we found this EP worth of his stuff. We're going to put it out. An artist dies. They open up this door. There's a closet full of paintings. They put them in a gallery. A video game dies and it just goes away. Like, you don't get to play the demo of it. Maybe somebody will leak a part of it. You have sites like
years from now.
Yeah, you might get like a little bit of it. I remember there was like
E.T. will always live on Caleb Lawson's PS4 because he downloaded it.
I feel like there's a like a few features at IGN that just, you know, for whatever reason didn't come together, never saw the light of day. And it's just so demoralizing, especially if like you spent, like I spent hours and hours on this thing nobody's ever going to see. Now multiply that by 100 people over 3 years.
Yep.
Like how much art and writing and music and like and everything else,
animation
just,
and like
just and like you know, games don't get canceled for no reason. Like obviously the project wasn't gelling together, but
that's like Microsoft could have easily made a chunk of money off this game.
Yeah.
I mean, they just can't,
well, what
they just that they do that now. Like Microsoft pulls the plug. On the Fable, like, Fable, not Legends. The other one was it Legends?
It was. I think that was someone. But yeah, like so. They could have sold a lot of pre-orders. Yeah. If they just sort of like held the game close to their vest, just showed a little bit of it to the media enough to get people interested, and then hold back review copies, they could easily sell a million copies on day one. That's their $60 million in revenue. But they looked at it and said, it's not even worth that initial chunk of change.
I think they looked at The Last Guardian and they thought games with giant companions just aren't working.
Yeah.
That game took 10 years and something was difficult to make in that game. And I think it was the giant companion, which is the whole theme. But that's what Scalebound is, too.
Well,
I mean, we're not there yet.
We forget a lot because games are toys, but we also forget that games are a business. And then at the end of the day, a company has to look at the bottom line and something like this. And I think there's probably no way to recoup. And if they had said, we need another year, another two, they looked at the money on that and they said, no way. We'll never make that money.
Maybe
back.
There's just too much nudity in it.
that could have been a problem.
I mean, I never saw any of those dragons wearing clothing.
No, that's true. Didn't even have pants.
Yeah.
Mm. And pants means trousers in the United States for a UK listener.
Right. That was actually why the game got delayed. They were trying
are there UK pants.
Yeah, neither types of pants were on those dragons.
Yeah.
In the UK.
As far as we know, we didn't cancel the game.
But no, it bums me out. It bums me out like on an artistry level. Yeah. The idea of, and then like people work late on things, like you're just like you don't see your wife and your kids or your husband for, you know, like until 11:30 at night for 6 months and you're in crunch. And then they're like, the game's canceled.
Yeah.
Like, I just hate...
It was all for nothing.
And they don't go like, oh, we're going to take those wall textures and move them over here. We're going to take this and remove them over there. It just goes away. Like,
that's kind of unique to games, huh?
And a lot of...
usually TV gets through half of a season before...
Some of that stuff might end up being reused in some future Platinum project, but large chunks of it are just gone.
I was watching that show Vinyl, and it's not a great show, but HBO canceled it. And then they're like, find out what happens to Ricky or whatever his name is in the Vinyl motion comic available on our website.
It's a motion comic?
It's like some garbage like that, right?
Just to get the script out there.
Yeah, it's a very sad, unceremonious way to sort of like give closure to fans. But if you love video games, you don't really get that. So it bums me out. And I saw a lot of people talking about this game like it's a free agent and they're like Sony should pick it up, and it's like it doesn't work like that at all.
Well, like, the rumor, we don't know for sure, like it's like that door there's still a crack of that door open as we write this right now. What we know is that Microsoft canceled the game. They're not publishing the game. We don't know for certain that Platinum didn't maybe buy the rights back, or
IGN has reported that Platinum retains the rights to Scalebound.
Interesting. Mm.
So there's a chance that...
But they're not saying... No, they commented on the story today, and they're not saying that they plan or hope to resurrect it. They're just like, it's canceled and we're really sorry.
Well, it's also... Right. They could own the rights to the Scalebound license and the characters and the names and stuff like that.
But none of the game code.
Yeah, and I remember a while back reading the whole thing about Rare and GoldenEye and how it was like Nintendo owned the... levels that Rare had created in the multiplayer mode for GoldenEye, but Rare owned like the textures or characters or assets or something like that. So the way
I
think it's actually vice versa.
Is it vice versa?
Because that's how Perfect Dark could have remakes,
right? And like the Felicity and the complex they or whatever they called.
Well, but Perfect Dark was still Nintendo.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of that stuff like gets divvied up in different ways. So it's like, okay, Microsoft owns Rare and they own the Perfect Dark license, but they don't own the levels that were made under Nintendo, like all that kind of stuff.
So if Platinum wanted to make a Scalebound game, maybe they could, but they possibly couldn't reuse. Or we don't know. Like, we'll see. We'll see what happens
in the
next couple months.
Another big canceled game, PT, or I guess it was going to be Silent Hills. Yeah. That is now kind of parts of it are in Kojima's game. right? In Death Stranding?
I think...
Well, at least that Norman Reedus model.
Yeah.
Well...
See? They did... We're able to use those assets that work so
no,
hard.
I think he made a brand new model for that. I'm guessing he left...
I'm just making jokes.
Okay, I was going to say, because I'm... Just... No, but it's a really good example, because I imagine that Kojima left Konami with... like a manila folder full of stuff, and that was about it. Like, he didn't get to leave with servers full of assets. He wasn't even allowed to finish Metal Gear Solid 5 on his own. Like, he was not allowed to see the team for the last 6 months of development for that game.
I mean,
so that's why it doesn't have an ending.
What happened to him was a tragedy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. I know what's going on here. I mean, Sam, you're making a joke, but like, I guess we should spell out like the relationship between publisher and developer.
Yeah.
It is like, you know, if it's not Nintendo making a Nintendo game, if it's Platinum making a game on behalf of, you know, Microsoft, what's happening is Microsoft is saying, we'll give you $3 million, you know, and then you have to deliver, you know, you have to hit these milestones. You have to deliver a playable alpha and a design doc and like then a playable beta. And then we give you another $3 million and another $3 million, and there's no, the money goes to the publisher, and then, you know, a game gets spit back out at the end. And there are lawsuits, like Sega sued the Borderlands developer
Gearbox
over Alien, because they claimed they gave them all this money to make an Alien game, and then the Alien game turned out to be, you know, it was a debacle, a disaster, and Sega accused them of spending that money to develop Borderlands. And so, like, stuff like that can happen. Like, when you're working with a publisher, you don't know. You know, if you're a developer, it can be an interesting scenario sometimes.
Yeah, it's really the whole, that whole sort of connection between business and art is really fascinating to me.
So Scalebound canceled. That takes one of Microsoft's big exclusives for the year off the table, which maybe it's time to revisit this question that we've been asking a lot in modern gaming times. Do exclusives even matter anymore? Do console exclusives matter today?
I mean, in a year with Red Dead and Mass Effect, like, I feel like our Game of the Year games don't look like they're going to be exclusive.
But like, Zelda is still an exclusive.
Yeah,
Zelda.
Yeah,
I mean, Nintendo is going to be the example I brought up.
Yeah, I mean, Uncharted 4 just sold nearly 9 million units.
Yeah.
So I mean, a lot of those were bundles, but they were bundled with a platform that exclusively plays Uncharted 4. So I think that to an extent, they help make a library more sort of robust and make a console more idyllic, because otherwise you're looking at the things like they're exactly the same. And if you're not looking at each version of the game going, this one is a little bit better, this one has exclusive DLC. Like, there's exclusive games and there's like garbage that each game gets on one system or in one store. Exclusivity, like, it cones down into such weird directions.
Timed exclusivity.
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. I think timed exclusivity is one of the worst things in the world nowadays. But
it's become a big joke, because as soon as that exclusivity is up, like, the version of the game that does hit, you know, PC and the other platforms or whatever is probably going to be the definitive edition to begin
with.
Like, that's what happened with Tomb Raider, so.
Yeah, but, like, no one's talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like I mean, I think that Tomb Raider is one of the best games of the last 5 years, but no one, I mean, it made a dent on PS4, but it wasn't really, like, oh, this is the best PS4 game, because people were talking about Uncharted instead, which is an exclusive.
I mean, I wish games worked the way movies worked, and there was one video game box that you buy a video game box and you can play video games. Like, I don't need to think about what my Blu-ray player is when I put a Blu-ray in it. It's universal. I wish that's how video game worked.
Yeah.
Video games
work. I think it's funny that Nintendo has this stable of 20 plus years of amazing games and characters and stuff. They always remake them. They're great. Sony had to play catch up at one point, which is really funny. So they came up with their own mascot games. They came up with their own like adventure games, and like then Microsoft did it afterwards.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny when they did like PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale to like see Sony's cast of their exclusive characters are and how they fit together, but they don't fit together in that way that Nintendo's world does, for me at least.
Yeah.
And I can't just rattle off a bunch of Sony exclusives still. They're like games, but they're not characters. They're not like these like kind of memorable separate things. We got Nathan Drake.
Yep.
We have Crash Bandicoot, which is now multi-platform. Probably.
Well, I think why PlayStation All-Stars didn't work compared to something like Smash Brothers is A, Nintendo's stable of characters is predominantly from E and, you know, just basically E-rated games. A couple of T-rated games, but mostly E-rated games. Whereas Sony's is all over the place. So right off the bat, it was weird.
Yeah,
it's just number two.
Think about Microsoft's swath of those. It's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Conquer,
but number two,
Master Chief. They didn't
have a unified art style for that game.
Yeah.
And that's a major problem.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that for Smash Brothers, they do. And they go like Snake and Pikmin and, you know, all Olimar and Mario, they all fit in this universe together and these backgrounds and stuff like that. And they all sort of make sense. If you look at that, like the, even the Amiibo line, you're like, these all came from the same toy box.
Yeah. But you look at Nintendo's games, like their exclusives are their best things on their consoles always now. Yeah. Like, is that helping them? Like, it's certainly helping them keep afloat, but it's not helping them win the console race.
Not at all. No.
Like, it's the companies that have to strive to have every game.
It didn't help with Wii U, even though they had fantastic games on there.
Yep.
And it wasn't the reason the Wii was successful.
No.
No. No.
I mean, it was exclusively interesting technology with Wii Sports.
Well, yeah.
That's what it was. And Wii Sports kind of counts.
I would push back a little and say that things like Donkey Kong Country Returns and Super Mario Galaxy were really like best-selling games on the Wii, but nothing compared to stuff like, you know, Wii Sports, which had no mascot. Wii Fit, which had no Wii Play, no mascot whatsoever. Carnival games.
I'm just gonna say.
Like, I mean, I will say, like I was already pointing out how, like, I wish we had one console, you know, and just all games played on that one console. But what you lose with a system like that is the ability for hardware and software to be married together in a very close, intimate way, which is what that's been Nintendo's thing ever since the Wii, I guess. You know, the DS.
They dropped the ball with the Wii U, but the DS and the Wii and the 3DS are great for that.
Yeah, like, totally. You know, experiences that really only make sense on two screens and experiences that only make sense with a top screen and a touch bottom screen and with motion controls. Like, that's a really special thing, and it lets you have unique, special video game experiences.
I agree with that. There is a counterpoint, though, that now that I am used to 20 years of a controller and a television, sure. Mm-hmm. Those games are still fine.
Yeah.
And they're always my favorite.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a little worried about, like, how far you can stretch the hardware matching with software.
I think if you look at something like Nintendo, if you took away their exclusives, I mean, you would be left with, like, interesting hardware that's underpowered compared to its competitors.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that puts you in a weird spot. With Microsoft, I think they're very important because you're basically just left currently with an underpowered version of a PS4.
If you fix it with Scorpio. There's actually a reason Scorpio exists, because they need to tell the story that they have the powerful.
Like, what's its thing? I mean, Scorpio's thing right now is it's exclusively more powerful than any other console ever made, but it's also going to need some games, and, you know, we'll see how that rolls out.
We have an email here from listener Denzel. Who says, "Hey Scoop Crew.
Hey listener.
I got a question. The Rise and Fall
and Training Day.
The rise and fall of platinum games for beloved games like Vanquish and Bayonetta to recent turds like TMNT, Mutants in Manhattan, and The Legend of Korra.
Yeah.
T-U-R-T, Ninja Turtles.
What happened? Their logo used to be a stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Was it, though?
Well,
I mean, you definitely, like, there's always been, not always, but recently, he's right, there's been two platinums, right?
Yeah.
Like, you get Bayonetta platform or you get Korra platinum. And mm-hmm. you don't know. And, yeah. like, that was the big joke leading into, I think Transformers was the most recent one. And it's like, which?
Well, I think TMNT wasn't it?
Yeah. That was last year. It's like, which platinum are we going to get?
Yeah.
Are we going to get Korra platinum or Bayonetta platinum?
What are platinum's best games?
Bayonetta 2.
Okay.
Well, and people love Vanquish.
And then what actually, was platinum
like,
before
I like stuff like Mad World.
Platinum?
Yeah.
That was a different company. Though,
Kamiya.
Right?
No, that was Platinum.
Yeah.
That was their first round of games.
What was Killer 7 and stuff like that?
That's
Grasshopper.
That's Grasshopper, yeah.
Kamiya was making like Beautiful Joe and games like that.
I'm trying to take it all the way back. Yeah. So Beautiful Joe, that was a great game.
Yeah, so Platinum started out as this very hardcore Japanese action game developer with Mad World, Bayonetta, and then they experimented with this weird RPG on DS called Infinite Space.
Yeah. They also did Metal Gear Rising, right?
Yeah, Revengeance.
I'm sorry.
But then some years ago, they started like taking on like licensed commission work.
Yeah.
And they need to keep the lights on while they make their hardcore action Japanese games.
And that's what, like, I'm not accusing them of doing 1 ounce of a shady thing, but that's that situation I'm talking about. They need money coming in the door to keep the lights on, and that's where games like Korra come from. And then that game's a 4 out of 10 while they're working on the game. You know, another team at the company is working on the game that they really care about and are passionate about. And that's how a game like Bayonetta 2 comes
out. Those are big licenses, though. Those could have been huge hits if they're a good game.
Yeah, Korra, Transformers, Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles was, I don't know if you guys talked about it here, but it was recently just delisted from the...
Already, like after like 9 months.
Yeah, not even a year.
Yeah.
Delisted from what?
From the PlayStation stores.
From sale.
From basically digital stores. It's just gone.
Why would that ever go away?
Well, I don't know.
It's happened in the past because licenses change hands. But in this case, I think Activision... Activision still retains the rights to TMNT games.
Well, I think that's unclear. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, they also pulled some Spider-Man games from the store, too. But, yeah, I mean...
It used to be that you had to... Companies would where they're in danger of losing the rights unless they use them again, which is why Activision was putting out James Bond games year after year after year, because if they didn't put out a new James Bond game, they're going to lose the license.
It's why Fox makes a new X-Men movie every year and a half, because they're like, it's too. Like,
I wish
oh,
the TMNT license would be bought again by Ultra.
Yeah, exactly.
That first TMNT
game. I would love that.
And now Deadpool counts
just
as
fake
X-Men.
Konami. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I think it's like a lot of these games... if they had gotten 7 out of 10s, I think they would have sold a ton of copies and then no one really would have cared.
Yeah.
And you would have had like a defense force for them. But a 4 out of 10 is a hard thing to fight for.
What was the actual question? I don't even
oh, like what happened.
Just what happened to Platinum Games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they still have a lot of stuff on the horizon. Nier Automata is coming out.
Looks great, actually.
Soon, and people are excited for that one. And then they have a couple of new games that are announced for 2018. But I'm not familiar with the names. They have kind of long Japanese names, so I'm not sure what's going on with them. And then they also announced today that they are working on something new that they're focused on, and work is quietly progressing.
It's funny how some companies their size work on one game and put it out every 5 years. Yeah. And then there's companies like them and like WayForward is like this. Yeah. So many games.
Yeah.
I can't believe how many games they produce. Yeah.
I mean, game development's tough. It is a tough, tough business to be in.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Let's look ahead at some games that are, we hope, coming out this year.
Yeah.
It's time, I want to hear what your most anticipated 2017 games are.
Mm. It's going to be a great year for games.
I hope so, yeah. So, totally up to you guys, whatever you're excited for.
I actually wrote my list down if you guys want
to get it. Well, you're allowed to do that?
Well, yeah, I mean...
I sent it to all you guys and then Damon chastised me.
I publicly shamed him.
I'm supposed to recuse myself from the segment.
Should I do mine first?
Sure.
Does that happen?
Yeah,
right?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Obviously, number one, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, you, I mean...
I knew I shouldn't have sent my list out.
Why? I didn't copy yours.
You copied him.
So not officially confirmed for this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have they?
No, it's
Nintendo
definitely coming out this year.
Okay.
Well, sorry. Yeah.
I mean, they said that about last year.
In the same way,
it'll be on Wii U and Switch this year.
Okay. In the sense that there's no release date yet, not officially. Yes. Officially. Well, maybe they did say 2017 for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean,
they're
not
missing 2017 according to them.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I'm tripped up about it is because I don't know what their official line is. But we know the game's coming out this year.
Yeah. It's 99.9% sure coming out this year.
Is that what they said?
Very excited for that one.
Number two, Horizon Zero Dawn, which
coming out next month.
Yeah.
Hey, what do any of those words mean in that title?
You gotta play it to find out.
I played it. And
what's
I've
a Breath
seen
of the Wild? Of
yeah.
Who's we'll an elf?
I know what Zelda is. It's the lady in the game.
I know exactly what elf stands for. Yeah.
No, Horizon
life form.
Horizon looks great. And I'm actually, I think I've said this on Scoop before, but I mean, you know, scaling the giant robots and take him down and exploring that world, like that's going to be awesome. But like secretly, I'm really excited about, they're hyping up a mystery in the trailers. Yeah. And they're ending every trailer on like a weird story beat that actually has me like way more intrigued than just like a...
You mean like the What Happened to Civilization thing?
Yeah. They're just they seem like they're hinting at, you know, like under the earth, there's some technology and she's going to explore. Like, I don't know. You know, like they're just sort of planting seeds.
I'm worried that game won't be as open as... it seems.
Yeah. I'm actually okay with that.
That would be okay if it's open in the way like Tomb Raider is.
I was just thinking that. Yeah,
that is okay.
Where you can like head into a valley and start hunting and stuff like that. I'm cool with that.
I do fantasies a little bit that way.
Horizon is on my list as well. Like what's giving me a little bit of pause is the developer Guerrilla Games.
Yeah.
Like Killzone Shadowfall. They're kind of there.
But those
bit
games
like,
aren't technologically bad.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
They're just kind of like silly throwaway shooters.
Why does like Platinum? They're kind of an up or down company in my opinion. And other people really like them, but
I think they're technically competent. I think that a lot of those games are just sort of bland and have pacing issues. Yeah. But Horizon seems to be fixing that with some of its art direction and characters. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, right off the bat,
they're stretching their wings on this one, and I hope that they stick to landing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Number three, South Park: The Fractured Butthole.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
We all forgot about
that. You're leaning right into it.
The butthole.
Is there like a release window for that? Or
March Q1. Yeah.
It is March. Okay,
so we'll see where that goes.
I think that's a candidate for a delay, but as of now, it's still March.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be out last month, and they delayed it to Q1, I guess. Yeah. So.
Obviously, very different game than the last one, but same art style, same characters, same goofs.
Oh, I thought you were setting up your next pick, and I was like, what has the same art style as South Park?
I mean, South Park is, you're listing off all the games that I'm really looking forward to, too. That's why I'm chiming
copied
in on
your
them.
Homework.
Stick of Truth was one of the funniest games ever made. Just immaculately made from how it recreated South Park and all that. And the one complaint that everyone universally had is like the combat system's really simple and basic. Like game's really fun and funny, play it, not much to the combat. And then they fixed that for the sequel. Like now it has a much more in-depth, sophisticated battle system. And
I
so
hope
it's
that,
like
that ends up being true.
Like if it ends up being as funny and as interesting and as authentic as the original with like more in-depth battles, that's like a sleeper candidate for like one of the best games of the year if they pull it off.
Number four, Super Mario 3D West World, whatever that is, on Switch.
Mm-hmm. Just the new Mario.
The new Mario 3D
We've
platforming
seen, like,
game.
8 seconds of it.
Those games are awesome to me. I'm super hooked on Mario Run. I'm like 100%ing that game. It's just they'll always have a place in my heart as Mario games. And what I love about the 3D games and the ones that come to consoles is that like they're one of the few games I can play with my wife. She's like not a hardcore gamer, but she'll sit down and collect every coin with me in those Mario games. So bring it on. We'll know more about that in the next 24 hours.
I feel like Zelda is like correcting all the problems with Zelda this year, and like it's kind of making the game that I always like yell about on the show, like go into the world, do whatever you want, get hurt. I really like that about Zelda. If they do that for Mario, then for me that would mean big explorable hub world, like the castle or like even the Sunshine Village, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah,
and then have like hub worlds and you explore those. Like, it needs to get back to that. I like Galaxy, but I don't love it because it doesn't have secrets.
It does feel segmented. I would love something on that scale. I don't want like a massive open world game, but I want something like Mario 64 size.
Open world. I mean, everyone, what would that be?
Everyone kind of forget, like Mario 64 was incredibly different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mario Galaxy feels more like a Super Mario Brothers 3 and Super Mario World
with
sequel.
Just levels and a map.
And it's like, you're right. It's like Sunshine and Mario 64 in some other little pocket Mario universe that we got away from. And like maybe it is time to get back to like a secret filled Mario hub world.
I just think that'd be awesome. Yep.
And number five, Star Wars Battlefront 2. I have a feeling that
not
they're
even
going
announced yet, but we know.
Yeah.
We're confident. It's
And I have a feeling they're going to do basically. I think that like if The Force Awakens kind of kept it safe and Rogue One was just like, let's do some crazy stuff with these characters. Mm-hmm. I think that Star Wars Battlefront 2, like they've gotten all the sort of vegetables out of the way and now they're going to have dessert basically. Ooh. Like they're going to have fun with this one. You're going to get to see
all
some weird stuff.
Combat.
Yeah. And I think we'll see single player campaign and a bunch of other things. So all space combat. Yeah. They're just floating around shooting each other. I want them on the ground. I want them to go to a bunch of other planets that we haven't seen yet. Lots of cool unlockable weapons and stuff.
Are you still playing Battlefront?
Here and there. Like, I checked out the Rogue One stuff for a little while.
It's a good, like, veg out game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play a ton of shooters, but just to lean back and just play three or four matches, it's great.
It's very quick and easy comfort food to jump in on, like, a Sunday afternoon for a half an hour. Don't know what else to play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, it'll be interesting to see how much of episode 8 is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or how that gets bridged with the... Yeah. We'll see where all that goes. So, I'm excited.
Yeah, it is interesting with Battlefront, too. Like, Battlefront was like, oh, we're on Endor and we're on a Hoth. And, you know, we talked extensively on GameScoop and other shows about the authenticity of, like, the way that the AT-ATs break down and, like, the laser bursts on the walls. Like, it looks like Star Wars, but they can't keep doing Endor. So,
nope.
It's like...
Nope.
Like, that does put them in a little bit of a tight spot.
Well, sort of like in Rogue One. Like, you see the AT-ST and you see an AT-AT and you're like, oh... Cool.
Yeah.
But like it's also sort of like this, familiar at this
it's,
point.
Well, Rogue One being a flashback movie, like it gets a little bit of a pass. But Star Wars, man, like Hoth Empire Strikes Back, like AT-ATs are like, what is this? That's this crazy walker. Like Star Wars needs new stuff.
Yeah, it totally does. It totally does. So I hope they can invent some new ships
and
weapons and aliens.
Some sort of race. Maybe on a planet, like in pods, like a pod race.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
I would totally play
just something different, you know?
I'd play the hell out of a pod race in the Frostbite engine. That'd be awesome.
Dude, pod racing on N64 was great.
Yeah, and I hope it's like secretly a Trojan horse to get me another PSVR mission because the X-Wing mission was really cool.
You'd be Bantha Poodoo if they ever put that out.
One thing that bugged me about Rogue One is that in Empire, the AT-ATs seem virtually indestructible.
Yeah.
And they're just taking down left and right in Rogue One. They're like, just shoot them a couple times in the next wing and they go down.
It was technically pre, like maybe the Empire learned from the weaknesses and armored them more.
That weak orange belly they had.
Yeah. For some reason, and I'm sure there's a reason for this, but the X-Wings don't enter the atmosphere at all. In Hoth.
I mean, there's odd stuff. Like, there's the...
They've landed. They just don't get up and fire.
I'm not a big enough Star Wars nerd to know the name of it, but there's those ships that they use in Rogue One that are it's just group a transports? Hard it's a hard thing to introduce new stuff in a movie like Rogue One, because then the argument's always like, well, where
is
where
U-Wing?
Yeah,
yeah. Is that what it was called? U-Wing? I don't maybe the U-Wing.
Yeah, the U-Wing and the trip transports were justified by that they only there's like a guy who's only made a few of them. Like okay. they wrote
seriously?
Yeah, they figured that out. It's in the visual dictionary.
I'm so on the fence between like just let them make cool ships, who cares?
Yeah.
And then the other part of me is like, well, no, like the whole conceit is that you have this universe that all fits together, so you need to explain.
Well, what you do is you create those ships in Rogue One, and then you just add them into the special or special edition.
Well, Star Wars is dumb because if you look at like the prequels, it's like, okay, everyone was driving like weird 1950s cars in space. 30 years later, they all had X-Wings and TIE fighters. 30 years after that, they still had X-Wings and TIE fighters, but they had red stripes on them.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so, it doesn't make any sense.
I know we're way off topic here, but today, Cracked.com has a great article on the craziest stuff that's happened in the Star Wars extended universe.
Yeah, we wrote that feature. We wrote a version of that, too.
Yeah.
Well,
it's weird stuff,
it's really, really
like
good.
Like the dismissed extended universe?
I mean,
the legends?
Just the like the novel. Yeah, yeah. The novels and the comics. Okay. And apparently, in one novel, Luke is like exploring this other planet with one of his Padawans, and then they encounter this rogue AI, and then his Padawan dies, and then the rogue AI like falls in love with Luke and reanimates his dead Padawan's body, and they have this like sexual encounter. It's so weird.
There's an Ewok Jedi and a droid Jedi.
Yeah, there's a droid Jedi. That's really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Sam, most anticipated games.
So Brian hit a lot.
Feel free to reiterate.
It's
fine.
And it's for me. It's Zelda, then Mario, which I hope are at different times.
Yeah,
it'd be nice to have Mario maybe in the summer or the fall. Just so I have time to love Zelda at launch, which I hope it gets back to launch. And then the two that he didn't have are Mass Effect. For me, I'm obsessed with that series. Like I can't wait. I hope.
Yeah.
I don't dislike anything about three.
I mean,
two is my like one of my favorite games ever.
See, I really disliked three. But I love too, so I mean, I hope they can get back to
the
early
little
Mass
bit
Effect
from CES last week. Finally showed like just fighting stuff for like 30 seconds, and it was like that was the exact Mass Effect I want to play.
Yeah,
and man, like just seeing a ship land and like new game graphics is just like thrilling. Yeah. It looks awesome. It's so pretty. And then Red Dead Redemption 2. I don't really like. We've talked about this on previous shows, but like Grand Theft Auto is a little bit cynical, and I don't really like the setting of it. Mm-hmm. But I like Rockstar, and they make amazing Western games. And this is the Western. I love the series a lot.
Yeah. I've never really heard it put like that. I think that makes perfect sense. GTA is a very cynical game. And there's something kind of awesome about just like walking around in the wilderness and like hunting bobcats.
Red Dead's a lot more earnest, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying that the character is a good character. I mean, he's still a murderer.
Yeah. He's still an ass.
Stuff.
But just like by its nature, GTA is a lot about social commentary.
Yeah.
And it's hard to provide social commentary on the 1800s.
In the woods.
Yeah.
Although you do, I think, there's a mission to kill the last buffalo in Red Dead. So it's got some of that.
Yeah,
but
and then the Yeti doesn't really exist.
That's pretty cynical.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely agree with you about Mass Effect. I actually never finished that trilogy. I obsessed over 1 and 2, and then I had other stuff going on in my life and didn't finish 3, so I don't know, maybe I'll try to get back to it and finish it before Andromeda, but you know, new aliens, new races, new planets, like
cool too, right?
Yeah.
different galaxy.
Yeah. And I think people gloss over like the combat. They really I know some people liked the more RPG feeling Mass Effect 1, but by 3 they're basically a full-on action game, and they're leaning even farther in that direction for Andromeda, and like there's nothing else like it. Like, it looks and feels great. And like, you know, I know people, it's sort of hot to bag on Dragon Age Inquisition, but like that game's party-based combat was incredibly polished and satisfying as well.
The music in Mass Effect is always one of my favorites too.
I love
like synthy and these throwback kind of 80s soundtrack.
Yeah,
I really they just that's nail that.
Yeah,
it just it's when it starts pumping while you're in a fight or something in the game, it's great.
Yeah, you guys said all the ones I was going to say. The only other one that jumps to mind is an isometric RPG called Torment, Tides of Numenera. It was a big Kickstarter success. It's a spiritual successor to Planescape Torment, which is probably the best written game of all time. Best video game story, best video game dialogue. So it's an RPG, you know, like Divinity or like Baldur's Gate or any of those, but just with a crazy, wild setting. Just like, it's fantasy, but not like dwarves and elves. It's just different and unique and feels very fresh and special. And based on what I've seen from the previews, the dialogue options that you have just go so far above and beyond other games of being able to talk your way out of combat or fight your way out or sneak your way around. Like, I I'm a little skeptical. It's like a different, it's not like the original Torment team. They got some of the band back together, but not the whole band. So it's like, it's sort of like someone treading on this name and it might not deliver on that hype, but the previews seem very promising and they've been very transparent about the development process and it seems like it came together. So
cool.
I hope, nice. I mean, you know, just stuff like Pillars of Eternity and, you know, again, Divinity, like these games are back now and it's awesome that like RPGs can be Mass Effect Andromeda or RPGs can be Undertale or they can be Torment.
Like, or Ni no Kuni too.
Like, yeah, like every flavor of
Persona
this thing you're into.
Persona's still coming out this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like Persona.
I don't know whether I like that series because I've never played it, but I'll try this one.
I made fun of 4 on the podcast last week and felt a little bad about it. It's a great game. It's just not.
Are you going to take back the Sonic bagging too?
No, the Sonic bagging I will stand behind forever, but Persona, I'd like to walk that
and
back.
I guess, I don't know, maybe Damon is going to get to these, but God of War could come out this year still, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I would love for it to.
That's
they haven't talked about a release window
more so
that,
than any other God of War game. Like, I think it like finally looks really cool. I played all the others.
I personally would be amazed if that game shipped this year.
What about Spider-Man?
I don't think that one's coming this year.
I agree.
I think both of those were very early, sort of like.
But I'm excited for this game.
There is a new Spider-Man movie coming this year.
Yes.
So I know the game is not
Spider-Man
based on the movie, but sometimes maybe they want to like cash in on that.
That would be
smart.
But maybe they'll cash in on the second Spider-Man movie.
I mean, there's definitely, we know that there's teams working on, like, you know, the Gears of War 4 team is making Gears of War 5, probably not for this year. You know, we're actually due for another Halo game. Like, we might see that revealed at E3, like, and that franchise, like, Halo 5 multiplayer was so excellent. Like, so there's stuff that I'm hyped for that, you know, we're just kind of waiting for them to lift the lid off.
Supposed to be a Fire Emblem and an Animal Crossing on.
On phones. On phones. Yeah, that's still happening.
Those could be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
There's no reason why.
I haven't seen anything about it.
Kind of worried about the direction those will take because the Super Mario Run took, it was such a nosedive in terms of sales because of that hard, you can play 3 levels for free or everything for $10. And there was nothing in between.
I thought everything was a positive spin on the money they made. It's just not compared to.
So, me, as somebody who buys Mario games, I'm like, I get a full Mario game for $10. This is awesome.
But you're saying the reaction. It still made money.
People who buy iPhone
made like $12 million.
It made a lot of money, but it stopped basically.
Okay. So only a small percentage of people that download the game actually paid for it.
Yeah,
but that's how like all mobile games.
Yes,
yeah. Well, it's a demo. I mean,
But a lot of people did complain. They're used to getting mobile games for free now, so they're complaining that the free portion wasn't big enough.
Yeah, and like, that it doesn't. So the free portion isn't big enough, and investors are complaining that you can't basically give it more money than the $10.
You can monetize it further.
Okay. So I have a feeling Animal Crossing will be free to play and same with Fire Emblem and then you'll get 10 hours in or 5 hours in and you'll start to see the hooks 2 hours in maybe and it'll be like, oh, you know, $2 for this house or $3 for this painting or this roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that could totally ruin Animal Crossing now that I think
about it. Dude, Animal Crossing is such a candidate to monetize up the wazoo.
If they're smart, and you know, the funny thing about this is that they've already done this. They did it with Amiibo cards. They've done it with
there's a precedent.
The e-reader back in the day. You had those paper cards you had to scan that like unlock stuff in the game. So we'll see.
Well, I picked 4 games that no one else mentioned. And I
let me guess. They have cards in them.
Nope. No card games. And I will I'll share them in order of release. Coming this month, Double Dragon 4.
Oh, dude, I cannot wait. We gotta do Let's Plays when that comes out.
For sure.
I cannot wait.
Seen what this game looks like. No, I just
found out this
week.
It looks like the NES version of Double Dragon 2.
It's like Mega Man 9.
And made by the guys that brought us Hardcore Uprising.
Yeah.
That new Contra game.
I love
Right.
That game's
so it's
so
like,
fun.
Okay.
So we saw, there was a Double Dragon game a couple years ago. Was
it
Neo? That was not Neon? That was not good.
It's terrible.
But it was intentionally retro.
Yeah, but it felt like a cover song. Whereas this is actually intentionally retro. Like this is straight up like old school sprites
like,
and everything.
Like Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Like a new retro looking game.
Yep.
So I hope that's really cool.
It's 2 player in the arcade, but only 1 at home.
Aw, dang.
No.
Does it have Vimy and Jimmy?
Yeah, hopefully. So that looks really cool.
We should prepare for that by watching the Double Dragon movie, which I've never seen.
No, what? Really?
Yeah, it looks great.
I took my parents to see that movie.
Whoa. You took them to see
it. Well, they took me. Like,
I love that idea.
It's really
Mom
bad.
Mom and Dad, can I take you guys out?
No, I had a conversation with a friend recently about like the worst movies our parents took us to, and I think that was up there. It's really
I thought
bad.
That was a direct-to-video movie.
No, that was in theaters. Movie. Alyssa Milano's in it.
For one
watch. All I remember.
Have you ever seen the Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren?
Yes.
That movie looks like a really fun turkey.
I liked it when
totally
I was a kid.
Totally watched that.
Yeah. Don't know what it's like now.
It's a good time.
Next month, I'm excited for Halo Wars 2. Big strategy
we
fan.
That up, didn't we?
No, not in this segment.
Okay. I loved Halo Wars. That game is really fun.
I did too. Yeah. RTS games
are... I hear
it's
hard
are...
to select
on the new one?
No, the first one. For people that didn't, that only played on PC, they never liked it. But I never thought that.
It was built for console controls, so it actually worked. RTS games are few and far between on consoles, so very excited for that one.
I mean, Ensemble made the original, and they have all that Age of Empires legacy. No one knew RTS games like they did besides maybe Blizzard. And so, with a new team making two, that makes me slightly skeptical. But, it looks... so far, it seems like they're singing the right song.
Yep. That looks really good. In April, I believe, Yooka-Laylee.
Oh, man. That was right at the cusp of my list of five.
Yeah,
for sure. I got to play that at PSX, and I loved it.
Yeah, I can't wait. Time. I haven't played a new platformer, a 3D platformer, in a long time.
So the build I played at PSX had giant arcade cabinets hidden in each level that apparently have secret games in them, but they wouldn't let me walk over and try it. They let me walk over and see it.
Do you see the title screens at all?
No. No. Mm-hmm. But those worlds are... huge. It's like we're talking about we want Nintendo to make another Mario 64, but these guys are doing it with Yooka-Laylee.
Does it have a hub world like Banjo-Kazooie style? Because I love that. Spiral Mountain is so great.
That I don't know.
Spiral
Mountain's great. My guess is it does because they've nailed every other aspect of the sort of 64-bit mascot platform.
All right, so Mario can be whatever it wants if Yooka-Laylee's that.
Yeah, totally.
Sure.
Right. And then later this year, I'm excited to play Prey.
Yeah, Prey looks really cool.
Yeah. Looks like it could be sci-fi Dishonored. It looks like you're gonna have a lot of fun tools, and you can decide how you want to approach problems and solve
problems.
In that
trailer, you turn into a cup.
Yeah, it's cool.
Plus, you like the prequel a lot. Eat.
Yep. I was a big fan of that. I don't know. Hopefully, they get the trilogy wrapped up.
But there was a prequel, and it was also called Prey, and it was a very different game, and it's not even related anymore.
No, not at all. It was a weird one.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Big Tony Style did.
First one of 2017, I think.
That's right. He says, over the weekend, I completed the Battlefield 1 campaign in about 6 hours. Mm-hmm. As the credits rolled, the achievement popped as a rare achievement obtained by just 9% of players.
Whoa.
Which seems surprisingly low.
Just for beating it?
Yeah. Fairly low for a short single-player campaign. I'm wondering how often you guys see games through to their completion. How quickly do you decide if you will finish a game or just move on to other games? So yeah, I checked the achievements. Only 9% of players on Xbox One have beaten the campaign.
Goodness gracious.
For Battlefield 1.
That's very low.
But you got to understand, too, when we have this conversation, we can play any game. And we make very different decisions than I did when I used to buy games.
That's
true. Beat them.
And also, I should mention, there's apparently it's confusing in Battlefield 1. You have to beat the campaign and then watch a video from the title screen, and then you get the achievement. So maybe some people have beaten it and not watched the video.
Sure. That makes a lot more sense.
Either way, those stats are low, and it's hard to justify adding single player to multiplayer games when you see stuff like that, which bums me out.
Which is
Ryan,
this
you
is
beat everything.
Same.
We talk about stuff, you're like, I beat that.
Yeah, I try to finish stuff. I mean, there are games that I have a very defined relationship with that are like, okay, there's way too much left in this thing, and I'm done with it. Yeah. My problem is getting to that point of saturation in the game where you're like, should I 100% it or should I just stop right here? Like, what Watch Dogs is like, Watch Dogs 2 is a game I finished, but actually going back and getting everything in it is a completely different story because you're doing time trials. And
for me, if it's after September, that ain't gonna happen.
Really?
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I try to make time for stuff.
There was a couple years 100%. Ago where I was reading a blog post about someone that was trying to read more. They didn't like that they were an adult and they didn't read books and they wanted to start reading books. And one of the things that they did, or they were recommending to people that want to start reading more, is if you're reading something and you're not really liking it or you're not feeling it, you're bored, instead of just putting the book down, physically throw it across the room.
That's great.
And they said just the act of and I didn't get I didn't understand it. But what you're doing when you throw it across the room is it's just let the book go. People feel guilt not finishing things if they're, and then they force themselves to it's like, I'm going to keep taking bites of this food I don't like. I'm going to keep reading this book I'm not into just to finish it. It's like, there are infinite books out there. There are infinite games out there. And that's
throw that plate of cookies against the wall.
Yeah.
That's become my attitude towards games where, we do have the privilege of, we get a lot of stuff through work. So I didn't have to pay $60 for Watch Dogs 2. That's reality. But, I just didn't like it. And it, like a lot of people do, and I'm not saying it's the game, it's me. Like, why should I keep, like, I put it down and I played Batman Telltale, which I liked a lot more. You know,
sure.
I put it down and I picked Stardew Valley back up, which I like a lot more. Like, there are too many games to spend 1 minute playing a game that I don't love.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I agree with that.
I feel like there needs to be a time limit that I set for myself for that. And I know with books, it's 40 pages.
So you actually have a, you know, you do that then.
Yeah. And like for the games, I do know that we review games that say this game gets better at this point.
Right.
So I try to play it at that point, if that's the case. And for Last Guardian, which I'm playing right now, everybody's like, the last about third of that game is just amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I'm in that third now. I don't know what the difference is.
I'm not so sure.
It's more like the last hour of that game. I mean, if
is
you're
that
not
really what it is, if so you're not even there yet,
if you're not liking everything you've done so far, you're going to keep doing whatever you've been doing until the last hour, which
that's
is
absolutely true.
Thematically and cinematically very, very interesting and sort of different than the beginning of the game. But I mean, I think like on the flip side of that, first of all, like I'm purchased my games digitally, so I don't know if my PS4 can handle that kind of beating. Secondly, I think like our access to games, and I think a lot of people now with stuff like, you know, Redbox,
Humble Bundles, or whatever.
Yeah, Humble Bundles. You it almost devalues games to the point where it's easier to give up on something. So I would urge, like on the flip side, to sort of like give something a little more time to see if you do like it. And but if you don't, give up. Yeah. Don't play something to finish it. I see people in the Podcast Beyond group all the time, hardcore PlayStation guys who are like, I want to get the platinum in this game, the platinum
still
trophy.
Still trudging through X. Yeah. Can't wait till I'm
and
finished.
And I can't it's start like, the other that. Thing. I had this like neighbor who wasn't allowed to get the prize in his cereal until he finished the box of cereal. And I was like, your parents are evil people. Yeah. That's horrible. He wasn't allowed to get a new video game until he beat the old one. And I went over and I would beat the game in front of his parents and be like, buy this kid a new game. And they'd be like, you got to do it on hard mode now. And I'm like, you're just cheap. You're just being cheap.
Yeah.
So I think if you set up arbitrary rules and you keep yourself from
parents
having fun.
Parents know about hard mode?
Yeah. They did in Aladdin for Super Nintendo.
Oh, that's so mean. Yeah. That's impossible.
Yeah. It wasn't the Lion King. So I don't know. I think there's a balance between giving up on something immediately, giving something a fair shake, and playing something to completion because you're obsessed with it and you have to.
I mean, it's not just me having access to games for work. I also have more money than I do time at this point in my life. Mm-hmm. And so like I value my time more than I value them. Like if I spend $60. Like I bought No Man's Sky. That was a game I bought with my own cash. Didn't like it, and had no. Like I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have spent that $60. But I'm like, I'm not gonna keep playing this.
Right.
I'm just not. Like, it's.
I kept playing it for you.
I know. Yeah. When like I spent, I think 80 hours with Factorio, like this PC game where you build crazy elaborate factories.
I don't even know what that is. I've never even heard of it. You spent 80 hours playing a game I've never heard of, and
we did some
together.
Let's Plays on IGN. That I have never seen fewer people watch a video in my life. And like that game just grabbed me, and I'm like, this is really special and I love it. And when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about it. And like Factorio, like that's all I care about. And like, so why, like if I play something, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Like I'll put it, like I'll keep playing a game until I find that next special one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, I bought No Man's Sky and I bought Overwatch, and Overwatch didn't really click with me. I played for a few hours and I'm like, it's cool. I understand why people love it. It's not really for me.
Yeah.
I played No Man's Sky for probably like 6 hours, and then I talked about it for 100 at work on different shows.
Totally.
So that sort of justified it. But then there are other games, like, you know, in the same breath where I'll spend $60 on something and only play it for a few hours. 6 months later, I'll spend $60 on something and then play it like a half an hour a day for a year.
Yeah.
So it's checks and balances when it comes to stuff like that.
I mean, you know, when you get home and, you know, you have dinner and you do whatever, and then, oh, I'm really looking forward to sitting down with X. And like, I think sometimes that feeling goes away for people before they realize it's gone away for people. And then they're just playing it to get through it.
Yeah.
And, even if like, I'll stop, if I get to the final boss, I'll just stop. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have no, I feel no special pressure.
I think in terms of finishing games, it's weird because a lot of games I don't really play for story.
Yeah.
I wish I did. And that's not to say that games have bad writing. It's just to say that video games as a vehicle for telling a compelling story aren't necessarily always the best way to do something like
100%
that.
100% agree with
that. Yeah. So, I mean, there's stuff
that's why it's so nice when they do have a story that pulls me through some of the worst parts of the game. Like, I think Uncharted 4, like, I still wanted to complete it.
Yep. I was a perfect example.
I don't have a bunch of problems with that game. I love it.
Yeah.
But, like, the story actually pulled me through it just as much as some of the other things.
Yeah. I felt the same way with Firewatch, which is something that I was like, well, actually, like, moving these Donkey Kong hands around this level and jumping up on stuff. Like, I'm not not the most interesting thing in the world, but I love the relationship with Delilah. I love the whole way the story spread out. So I was compelled to finish it.
The sunset?
Yeah. It helped that it was 3.5 hours long, too. Yeah. Same with Inside.
I actually didn't finish Inside or Firewatch, even though they're crazy short.
What?
I was bored by both of them. And yeah, but then I really like this year's Call of Duty, so you know, there's no accounting for taste.
Plus, once you throw them across the
room. So you're a casual noob COD fan.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, it's very random. Like, I dug Call of Duty, I dug weird indie games, and then I didn't like these two critically beloved games.
Yeah.
What do I know?
It happens.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say I beat virtually every game that I like.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
I like
but sometimes I like a game for a while, and then like Final Fantasy 15, I've put dozens of hours into, and I enjoyed it, but that may be my time with it may be over now.
No, I know it sounds hypocritical. I never beat Metal Gear Solid 5, but I played up until the very last part of it because I couldn't make this one decision that happens in the game and all this other stuff happened, but I played 100 hours of it.
I played 60 hours of that game, and I gave up in that one mission where those ghost zombie asses are trying to kill you out of that tank. And it's just like, I lost 20 times in a row. And then when I thought of that game for the next 3 months, I thought of that part and I said, I don't want to do this anymore.
The story was fun to watch in the game, but I can't tell you what it is and I don't care.
Mm-mm, me neither.
Yeah.
But that's I love that game.
That's why the gameplay is so strong in that game. It doesn't matter the story. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
There's definitely many, many instances where it's not the game's fault. It's like you're playing something. It's totally great. But then you go on vacation or you get busy with work. And then it's just like, well, okay. I'm never finishing. Never
comes out.
Yeah,
right,
I'm never finishing that.
That's true. This is Devin H. Says, hey, Damon, I wanted to bring something up to you game scoopers to talk about. Why can't games give you a digital copy of the game you buy like Blu-rays do? Why is this such a difficult thing for them to implement? I know I would still buy physical copies if that were the case. As it is, I just can't do it because digital is so convenient, though it does have some drawbacks. He says, thanks, guys, and keep fucking that chicken. I don't know what that means.
It's from a newscast blooper.
Okay.
Where they're talking about plucking chickens, and the newscaster just goes, well, Diane, keep fucking that chicken. And then she just goes white. Her face just bleeds of blood.
He either doesn't know what he said or doesn't care because he just like.
There's some freezing, and then they cut to commercial.
Wow, okay.
That's good. The guy doesn't go, oh, no, or anything. He just like just sits there.
Check it out.
All right.
That's pretty good. All right. Physical copy is coming with a download code. It's probably because they, you know, that download code could be handed to someone else and then they lost another sale.
Well, I'm thinking about movie download codes. Aren't those usually for use on like on another device, on like an iPad or some device that doesn't have a Blu-ray drive? Isn't that the point of them?
Yeah, I think so.
So in a video
and
game,
I think a lot of the Sony movies, if I'm incorrect, you have to like download it through Sony's portal. So it's a little inconvenient. I don't think I've actually ever redeemed.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, sure, it's a great idea.
You buy records all the time, and you get a little digital code with them, and that means you can, you know, also play them on your phone.
But the problem is the games aren't playable on your phone.
Yeah, yeah. I think part of it too is the resale value aspect. When you buy a new, you could buy a new game, keep the digital code, sell the physical copy of the game for, you know, 10 or 15% less than what you paid for it. There isn't like really like a movie stop the way there is a game stop anymore. I mean, although they do sell movies, it's just in the doldrums in the corner of their store. So I think that like, I don't know, market-wise, it'd be a big problem. Games are more expensive and you get more money back from them. Yeah. But I love the idea. I mean, if there was a way to promise that you weren't going to trade it in, then you had two things.
Yeah. I bet when you buy that record, you're planning to keep it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about that. Yeah. I mean, that's what excites me about what you're talking about. Just the one thing is having the physical copy. If that encourages more people to have it, I think just that's cool. But I guess having it doesn't deter me. I mean, I don't know. Digital copies aren't that convenient for me right now.
No.
I feel like the disc install is the install. And
I think they get
wasted
a lot.
They're like so equivalent.
Yeah.
I love digital copies. I mean, I look
at
my...
Do you use yours?
Oh, all the time.
Are we talking about the same thing? He's talking about just digital copies of games.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about the digital copy. You buy a Blu-ray and it comes with a digital copy.
I mean, I don't buy Blu-rays because everything I buy is through, I'll buy.
I just stream everything.
Yeah. I stream everything, but I also have, I'm building a library on Amazon Prime of all of my favorite movies of all time.
Hopefully those will get upgraded.
Yeah. I hope so too. And then it's like the kind of thing where I can check in on and like before I get on a plane, I can be like, I want to watch Return of the Jedi. And I just hit a download button on my Kindle and there it is. So like I look at people who have like giant shelves of movies. I'm not really like that. I know that streaming will never be as good quality as say like a 4K disc or something like that.
What if they released an old NES game again, and then they gave you the digital code to play it on your Wii U.
Oh man,
that would be cool.
That'd be dope. Yeah. That's a really good idea.
You have a nice sealed box.
I was actually talking to somebody the other day about how the NES Mini or the NES Classic or something, it was almost a missed opportunity to have it play small, like Game Boy size cartridges that you would buy in boxes that would maybe come with a digital code, or maybe you could plug in. I mean, just the idea of like being like, I bought this console for $30, but you can also buy a bunch of, like, it would have started this whole new thing where, like, I don't know, we were trading games with each other, and we're like, I would buy a little bobble cartridge. Dude, like, that's awesome.
If the NES Mini came with a line of like $15 or $20 carts, people would have gone ape over those.
And people were importing them, and some of them were really hard to find. And we were like, I have Metroid on 70 systems. Why am I trying to get this thing again? I don't know. Would have been cool.
I still buy Blu-rays because I'm a sucker for director's commentaries.
Yeah. That stuff's really
cool. For the movies I care about, that's true. I have the Star Wars, the trilogies, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, that kind of stuff for the commentary. Yeah.
Digital is really bad at that stuff.
Yeah, they need to solve for that.
Oh, dude, I got like Force Awakens digitally, and then like it's just all tacked on the end.
It makes no sense. I went to get the movie, and it's like it's 3 hours and 45 minutes long, and I'm like, that movie's not that long. Yeah. So the movie ends, and they play the Star Wars credits from John Williams, and then like there's like, here's the 30-minute making of, here's the behind the scenes. It was like, why
and
is all this
Xbox,
here.
It takes so long to fast forward to the end of it.
It's not even like chapters.
No.
Like, oh, and it's like, awful.
You know who used to do that is VHS tapes. Yeah. And it's like, how did we get so far? Retro. We got so far into the future and then we're still backwards with that. So yeah, there's some problems to solve, but.
All right. One more quick email this week comes from Ransom Garcia. And he says, I just finished last week's episode 418, and Altano's comment about it being impossible to beat Punch-Out without codes, compelled me to write in this email. Uh-huh. You see, I know that comment to be false because I actually accomplished what Brian claims.
That's not
impossible.
What I said. That's not what I said at all.
Don't say that, because now what someone's going to do is take that and splice it together.
I said I've never beaten it because I suck at that game. I know people who my brother's beaten in front of me straight through dozens of times.
He has a story, an anecdote.
Okay.
We often say things that aren't true.
Throw it across the room.
He says, I did it when I was 24 and I'm 32 now. I had just gotten dumped by the first girl I ever loved. It was a terrible breakup. Brilliant. And it was...
Maybe you should have listened better.
Thankfully, the only time I've ever had to deal with depression. To make matters worse, after moving out of the apartment I shared with my ex, I found myself having to briefly move back in with my parents. Not the coolest thing for a dude in his mid-20s. But something incredible happened. When I moved back home, while going through the old boxes, I found my old NES and a ton of games. One of those games was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
That's so cool.
Thank God I had Mike Tyson in it.
I remember thinking to myself, I had never beaten that game before, so I went to the store, bought a ton of beer, I locked myself in my old childhood room, and I gave myself a goal. I was determined to beat that game from start to finish without using any codes. It was hard. It took the better part of that weekend to accomplish my goal, but in the end, I finally did it, and in the end, it was the first time I wasn't thinking about my ex. So in a weird way, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out helped me get through a pretty rough patch in my life.
And beer.
Yeah. That's really awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Also, I never said what you said I said. No, there are no codes in that game like one punch knockouts. The codes are basically just level select codes that get you to, like, you can start.
Can you say Mike Tyson's?
Super Macho Man.
Yeah, you can start right at Mike Tyson's.
No, can you? Can you recall it?
007373.
Really, really,
do you know
really?
The rest of it?
No, I never played that game when I was a kid, but people I know always know it. Like, when they come, I have it on the Play Choice at the house. They always play.
My memory is that there wasn't a Tyson code, but you had to go back one. You had to get through Macho Man at the time.
And then once you know any of those guys, once you know how to beat them, you can.
No, there's definitely a Mike Tyson code, but the problem is when you.
The Mike Tyson code is in the background of Super Paper Mario's Easter egg.
Yes, which we have to.
Oh, I was going to ask if you had a Punch Out cart at your desk.
Yeah.
I want to play Punch Out today.
Yeah.
Is it Mike Tyson?
Yeah. Nice. I've never owned the other version.
See, I only had the other one. Dude, you have no idea. Again, we talked before about, like, the four of us grew up in an era before the internet, which is a thing that kids won't know today. Like, I had Punch-Out, and the end boss was Mr. Dream. And I went to my friend's house, and he had a game called Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And
I'm like, they made another one?
I'm like, they made another one? What the hell is this? And it's all the same people, and we're so confused. And we get to the end, and you fight Mike Tyson, and he looks... And then that's when I realized that Mr. Dream is Mike Tyson, but he's white?
Yeah, White Tyson.
He's White Tyson, and he's still got the gap in his teeth, and I like
that's amazing.
I was like 8 and it blew my mind.
But the difference is Mr. Dream never went to jail.
Yeah.
Mike in Tyson, real life.
Right in the boxed version of that game, Mike Tyson has a letter that he writes to you.
Yeah.
He's like, so you want to challenge me? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And then it's like signed Mike Tyson. It's like on his letterhead.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's really cool.
Such a weird game because Little Mac is like a 7-year-old boy in that game. Yeah. And it's just a grown ass man, just four times the size, beating the hell out of him. Just
good
really
coach.
Pummeling him.
Yeah, really good coach.
Yeah.
Fly great like game. A butterfly, sting like a bee.
Yeah. Great game that I will never finish.
Now is the time on Game Scoop when we play video game 20 questions. Our suggestion this week comes from Steven.
Steven.
We have 20 yes or no questions to guess Steven's game. Let the questioning begin.
Do you collect money in this game? Is there a currency that you earn?
No.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Man, Damon really knows this game. That's a good hint right there. Is it before 2000?
Yes.
The two of those clues, the human thing and the money thing, actually kind of work out.
Yeah.
Is it before January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
80s, only 80s kids.
So we know it's not a Mario game.
No, they came
is
out
it
in
before 1984?
Nope. Oh, he collects money.
Coins.
Yeah.
Is that
except in Mario 2, yes. He collects beats.
Sam asks, is it before 1985? Yes.
I think there are coins in Mario 2.
It's not on NES.
How do you know that?
Before 1985, or it's from a black box game.
Ask that?
Yes.
Oh, him and I were too busy goofing over here. does Mario 2 have coins in it?
It's got a few.
Yeah, you pull them up as when you go into the.
Yeah.
I only remember. You get them from the reverse world. You're right. Yep.
Is that the sub world?
Yeah, the sub world.
Subcon.
But wait, spoilers for Mario.
It's short for subconscious.
But when you finish that game,
yeah, and
the
it's
whole
all
game
a
is a dream. Right. When you finish the game,
subcon. Subconscious.
But there's also those weird levels inside. So is it a dream in a dream? Is it an inception
thing? I've never picked up on that before. The subcon in Mario 2 is subconscious?
Sorry, Damon.
The hint is at the very start that it's all a dream.
Five
just like Mario 3
here.
Is a stage
play. You can't get us together. We're just
don't lose track.
So you asked before 85?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you don't collect money before 85. You play as a human. could be a text adventure.
Yeah,
I don't know why my head's going.
Is this
there.
An arcade game?
Yes.
Okay, not a text adventure.
Well, we could... it's definitely not. That would be the worst arcade game.
But are all arcade games are ported, so it's not worth asking.
Donkey Kong... was this game developed in Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
So that eliminates all the Atari...
Donkey Kong doesn't have... Mario's in it, but he doesn't have coins.
Yeah, and he's Jumpman, technically, back then.
Yeah. It's... Okay.
Yeah, Japanese arcade game. Early Japanese arcade game. Could be Taito... I mean, I like Nintendo and Sega for this, actually.
Should we find out if it's two-player cooperative or two players on screen at the same time?
That's a good one. I was going to ask.
Are there two players on screen at the same time?
No.
Ooh, okay.
Great.
I like Donkey Kong.
So it's not Double Dragon.
Popeye.
Or,
yeah, any of it could be like Jungle Kang or any of the Taito games.
Is it based off a license?
Yes.
Ooh,
Popeye.
Popeye's a good one. He doesn't collect coins. There's a lot of men in that game. Or two. There's you and Bluto, and then that woman who's
he collects
also
hearts,
a female
and then he collects music notes.
I've only played Popeye a couple times in my life.
It's really cool.
Is that the first game Miyamoto designed?
No.
Do you have that arcade cabinet?
No, Scott does, and I worked on it with him. I moved it to his apartment.
It's not in his apartment.
It was there.
But where is it now?
Okay. It was in my house.
Hold on.
Now it's not. I think it's at his parents. Okay. Is this a Nintendo game?
Yes.
All right.
That's 10.
So you play
spinach in it?
What's that?
Do you eat spinach in it?
Yes.
Oh, man. Nice.
Woo.
Is it Popeye?
It is.
All right.
Well done. 12 questions. Popeye released in 1983 arcades by Nintendo. Also came to the NES, so that could have.
I think we had a good start at the beginning there. The man that doesn't collect coins that eliminates many games.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, I'm asked my question as a joke, but then your question, it's like, yeah, there's not that many games where you play as a person that doesn't collect coins.
How stupid is that?
Or like collect money.
Yeah.
Like, even like GTA. Yeah. Or like,
can you name another licensed Nintendo game?
I was going to say a rare licensed Nintendo game.
It's really
Yeah, you do Golden collect Eye. Hearts and music notes, but you don't spend them for anything, so I didn't think it would count it as a currency.
Yeah.
Right. So.
GoldenEye has that whole level word.
I love that game, and I had that game on NES.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really
good game. Yeah,
that's the sound.
Bluto, it's a lot like Mario Brothers, actually.
Yeah.
The design of that game is very similar.
And he wanted to make Donkey Kong, that was supposed to be a Popeye game.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
This ended up being more like the Mario game that came out after that. It's a widescreen game too. Like the monitor is tilted on its side, which was unusual for the time. And so it's very, very colorful.
Well done. Thank you for the suggestion, Stephen. If you have your own suggestions for Video Game 20 questions, email them to us at gamescoop@IGN.com. That is all the scoops we have for this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. This is IGN Game Scoop. And we're out.
Beyond the darkness. Beyond the human evolution.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.